Well, good morning, Potters. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office in my home. And we are continuing in our study of Matthew on Sunday mornings. It's been good to see the people start trickling back into church. And so hopefully we'll start to see that more often. I'm really blessed. I think the things appear to look good. The numbers for COVID in terms of hospitalizations and case numbers and deaths are, any death is obviously unfortunate, but at least the numbers are going down in our state. And so hopefully things will be on the mend soon. So I continue to pray for you during this time. I know that there is a lot of people that we have missed throughout this last year, and we are anxious to see you. And so when you feel safe to come back, please do. We have service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning still, and at Wednesday nights it's at 6:30 in the evening. We do have men's prayer on Saturdays that you can come out for, and women at the well on Tuesdays. And so think about those things and maybe just sort of find a way to start easing back in. So I know I sound like a pastor when I say that, but fellowship is extremely important, and you know that, and I know that. So this morning, as we continue in our study of Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 52. If you have your Bible this morning, why don't you open it up there? And I want to talk about the parable of the net. Now, Jesus tells us that the parable of the dragnet, right, or the parable of the various kinds of fish, that's what this it covers in this particular text. And he prefaces this whole parable by saying that it illustrates an aspect of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, the parables are the answer to the question, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then you get the parable. So the story is about this fisherman using a dragnet, and it's weighed down, and it comes to the bottom of the body of water, and it collects all the fish, right? And then we see that they're separated. One of the things I want you to understand, that this is, again, another parable that is connected with like the wheat and the tares. When Jesus gives the command, hey, let them grow together, when he's asked, hey, should we separate them now? And he says, no, in separating them, you're only going to cause damage. So let them all grow together, and then there'll be a separation. Well, the net provides the separation, but it also provides the collection of all the fish, and their fate out of the water and in the net is obviously going to be death. So I want you to remember that this is talking about something that is far more significant than just separating, but it's the final judgment that we see. And we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. So let's go to our text in Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 52. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. They sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be in the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have understood? Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning, Lord, as we study, that you would give us the power of the Holy Spirit to see what the Spirit is doing in the church and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Our motivation, guys, this morning is to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That's you, that's me. I'm still rightly dividing the word of truth after teaching it for, I don't know, 30 years. It's a never-ending task, right? But it's a beautiful thing. So a couple of observations. In this parable, the dragnet, you know, is cast into the sea and pulled up into the shore. And all the fish are there. The fishermen, obviously, they sit down and they start the business of the sorting. So the fish that were worth keeping, you know, are put into containers and the rest are tossed away. And Jesus interprets a parable. This is one of these parables that are interpreted. And I want you to pay close attention because this one has a little bit different spin to it. He says, this is how it will be in the end of the age. So we're talking about eschatology here. So in the midst of these parables in talking about the kingdom of heaven. There's some parables that speak to the here and now, and there's parables that transcend the here and now and end up all the way to the end of the final judgment. And some believe even after the thousand-year millennial reign. So there's a lot of sort of time travel going on in these parables. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think we covered the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The bad thing about heaven is the separation. It's not going to be a party. It's the fact that you're going to be separated and you're going to spend eternity alone, weeping and gnashing of teeth, that grinding of teeth. We'll talk about that. So this parable is similar to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Obviously, both parables concern the end time sorting, aided by the angels, when believers will be separated from unbelievers once and for all. It'll be an eternal separation, never to be together again. So in interpreting this morning, we just want to cover this reoccurring theme of growing together. Just as it was, you know, when the net was cast into the sea, drawing many fish, the gospel message is spread out into the world, drawing many people to it, right? The net represents the gospel. And just as the net gathered all kinds of fish, regardless of their value, the gospel attracts many people who neither repent or desire to follow Christ. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Everybody is going to hear the gospel. They're all going to have an opportunity to know the truth. Whether they choose that truth or not is another story. So just as the fish could not be sorted until the net was pulled ashore, false believers masquerading as Christians, they're not going to be known until the end of the age. But mark my words, there are many false believers. There are many people who claim to know Jesus Christ. And I think the number is growing more than we could fathom, right? I think it's you talk about a pandemic. This is a spiritual pandemic that we have. These people that are walking around thinking because they do things or because they go places that makes them a believer. But their heart has not been transformed. And like we studied last week, they have not given all. They haven't sold everything to follow Jesus Christ, to get the pearl, to get the treasure. So the actors are going to be revealed. That's my second point. These bad fish, they're the false believers, and they can be likened to the rocky soil or the thorny soil in Matthew chapter 13, verse 5 through 7, and to the tares in verse 40. They claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, saying, "Lord, Lord," Matthew 7, 22. Remember that. And Jesus, his reply is going to be, again, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." So the sobering main point of the parable can be stated in this way: a day of reckoning is going to come in which God will separate true believers from mere pretenders. And those found to be false will be cast into hell. That's the reality of what this parable is talking about. And I could expand on that for days to come, but there are certain things that come as a result of this separation, right? And the first thing in terms of application, and believe it or not, we've jumped to application because it's the majority of this parable, in terms of what is it saying and what does it mean is a very easy deduction. But how do I apply it is much greater task for us. So the first thing in applying this morning is I want to talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. So one of these judgments is, you know, there are many, but one of them is the Great White Throne Judgment, and it's described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And we know that this is the final judgment prior to the lost being cast into the lake of fire. And we know that from Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 15, that this judgment will take place after the millennium and after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And that's in Revelation 19 and in Revelation 20, talks about this whole process, right? So what happens at the Great White Throne Judgment? Well, the books that are opened in Revelation 20, verse 12, contain the records of everyone's deeds, whether they're good or evil, because God knows everything that has ever been said, done, thought of, and he will reward or punish one accordingly. So also at this time, another book is opened called the Book of Life. And that's in Revelation 20:12. And in this book, that will determine whether a person will inherit eternal life or receive everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. Although Christians are held, you know, accountable for their actions, guys, remember, we're forgiven. And if our names are written in the book of life, then we're good. And remember, if your name is written in the book of life, it was from the creation of the world, Revelation 17, verse 8. It was written in there before the creation of the world. That's how much God knew that you were going to go after him and seek him and be saved. But he also has infinite wisdom to know those who would reject him. We also know that that from this scripture that at this time, this judgment, the dead will be judged, obviously, according to what they have done, Revelation 20:12, and anyone's name not found written in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire. So that is the great white throne judgment, but there are other judgments of God, and so there's three of them. I want to talk about three specific ones this morning. The first judgment is the sheep and the goats, which is called the judgment of the nations. That's in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 36. This takes place after the tribulation period, but prior to the millennium reign, the thousand-year reign. So right at the end of the seven-year tribulation, its purpose is to determine who will enter the millennial kingdom. Now, remember, there are those that are unborn and those that are not of the age of the accountability that will go into the millennial kingdom that are not saved, that still need to make a decision to be saved. But those that are at an age, they will be judged at that particular time after the tribulation period. The second is a judgment of believers. That's the works. It's often referred to the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ. And at this judgment, Christians are going to receive the degrees for the rewards of the works of service to God. And remember, they're going to be rewarded only to do one thing, to take all those rewards and lay them at the feet of Jesus, because we ought not to be rewarded for anything in comparison to what Jesus has done for us. He should be rewarded. He should be adorned. He should be loved on. The fact that we're even there, the fact that we're receiving anything is a result of his goodness. He empowered us on this earth to do good. All of it is his work, his handiwork, his glory. And the third is the great white throne judgment that we spoke about at the end of the millennial reign. Now, again, this is the judgment of unbelievers, and the judged according to their works, and they're sentenced to this everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. And other Christians believe that these three judgments speak of the same final judgment, not of three specific or separate judgments. Now, again, we're studying Revelation when we talk about this, and the time sequence, I think we get in trouble when we start putting a time sequence and dates and orders to eschatology, when in fact we should be focusing on all of these things are going to happen. And if you're focusing on the time, if you're focusing on the cadence, but you're not focusing on your heart, then you're in big trouble. Think about a moment. Just close your eyes. Take this time right now during this Bible study to close your eyes and think what it's going to be like. You know, I let my mind sort of go in these situations where, I am not a creative person by nature. Even though I'm a musician, I'm more of a tell me what to play and I'll play it. I don't write music. I don't, you know, I stay within the confines of whatever the sheet tells me to do. But when it comes to things like this, God has challenged me to let my mind go. And so I'm thinking, as we're waiting to be judged, are we standing in a line? Is there a great multitude of believers and unbelievers standing in the same place? Are we in a big, like, stadium where we can all see and all hear? And am I waiting and they're calling these names and I'm just waiting for them to call me? And then am I walking upstairs to this platform where this great throne is and there's God before me? And he opens up the books and he's considering what's in them. There's a book that has everything that I've ever done, good and bad. And then there's this other book, which is the most important. And if my name is not in there, I'm in big trouble. The ground beneath me will fall. And I will find myself weeping and my teeth gnashing. What does that mean? You know, we spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. It's that separation that we have, that stress that we have of being alone. of being judged every second of every day, every minute of every day. Constant judgment and the stress is that gnashing of teeth, and the weeping is not just weeping for a moment like we do when we mourn, but it's weeping forever. Never smiling, never laughing, never doing any of the things good anymore. We're stuck in this endless cycle for the rest of time. You are going to stand on that platform. And this truth that you're hearing right now should change the way that you live your life. It should change the way that I live my life. We don't have free rein to do whatever we want and think that God is just going to reward us with heaven after we broke every one of his commands and walked in those, in breaking those commands every day. That's not the life that he's called us to. Yes, we're going to stumble. Yes, we're going to trip up. But I'm talking about sin that goes unrepentant. I'm talking about not producing fruit, being in a state of looking like you're a Christian, but on the inside, there's nothing. What's going to motivate you? I ask God that all the time about my church. What, Lord, what's going to motivate them? What's going to be the thing that sets them finally free to understand that we need to walk in this? I'm the pastor of the church. I know what's going on with people. I know those that are struggling with drugs and alcohol. I know those who are struggling with addictions of pornography and being faithful to the spouse and just a myriad of things. I know all that. And every time I approach the microphone to bring a sermon, I ask myself, Lord, what could I say to convince them that there is a day coming, the books will be opened? So lastly, in implying this morning to our soul, the facts of God's judgment. Jesus Christ is going to be the judge of all believers. And we'll be judged by Christ, and we will be punished according to the works that we have done. The Bible is very clear that unbelievers are storing up wrath against themselves, Romans 2:5. That God will give to each person according to what he has done, Romans 2:6. Believers will also be judged by Christ, but since Christ and his righteousness and the fact that it's been imputed to us, our names are written in that book, and we're going to be rewarded, not punished. Romans 14:10 through 12 says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us will be able to give an account to God. Think about that. I'm going to leave you with that this morning. You need to give an account. You know, our taxes are coming up. You're going to give a financial account of your life this year, in the year 2020. You're going to give a financial account. What about the spiritual account that you're going to give for all eternity? If you haven't given much thought to that, but you have today, and you're like, Greg, you know what? I really want to know this Lord Jesus that you're talking about. It's really easy. Your job is to give up everything and to follow him. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he will come into your life and change you. He will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to come in, and you'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You'll be given the gifts of the Spirit. You'll walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and you will be changed from the inside out. It's a beautiful thing. And if you've made that decision and you've made that your prayer, find the number on the website, give us a call, and let us know so that we may rejoice with you. And if you listen regularly, remember, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.